Welcome, Chiefs fans, to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jason Thomas, the host and blogger at arrowheadfanatic.com. And this week, we get to talk about the Saxonville Jaguars coming in to face the Touchdown City Chiefs. And this should make for a great game. Jacksonville comes into this game with the top defense in football, giving up 14 points a game on the season. The crazy stat that's been kind of roaming around everywhere is that they've only given up 4 total touchdowns on the season. Now, when you turn that around for the Chiefs, they have the top total offense in the NFL at just over 36 points a game, and they've averaged 4.5 touchdowns per game. So something has to give in this matchup of two extremely talented and athletic teams. I gotta start this show off talking about the Jaguars defense. What makes them special, what schemes they run, and how the Kansas City Chiefs offense can attack them. This Jaguars defense is layered with playmakers everywhere. There isn't an obvious weakness anywhere on the field. And then they've got a guy or two they can bring off their bench that can make plays too. They're just very deep. That's what happens when you're terrible year after year and you get top draft picks. And then you spend your money correctly and you can go out in free agency and sign the best players from multiple teams. And you can really see that in their defensive line. They've got Malik Jackson and Marcell Dareus that play inside, usually on early downs. Dareus was the Bills' best lineman, and Jackson was Denver's best lineman in their Super Bowl run. And then on the outsides on early downs, they have Calais Campbell, who was Arizona's best defensive lineman for years. And on the other side, they've got a guy who I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. I'm just going to call him YN, because I have no shot at getting that right. But he was drafted by the Jaguars, and they've kind of have given him time to develop into a good young pass rusher. And honestly, if you've got any talent at all, and you've got those other three guys beside you, you should be able to make some things happen. And then they've got a former first-round pick in Dante Fowler, who they can also bring in on pass rushing downs, who's got a lot of talent to get after the quarterback. At linebacker, they have two names that jump out at you, in Miles Jack and Telvin Smith. Both of these guys are extremely young, athletic linebackers that are honestly like a lot of team safeties. They can move, and they're extremely fluid in their movement, and they are good enough tacklers to not get shown up in the run game. And then the secondary, which might actually be the strength of this team. They've got Jalen Ramsey, who's at corner, who's considered probably the best corner in football right at the moment. He's young. On the other side from him, they've got A.J. Boye, who for the last 2 years has been at least a top 10 corner in the NFL. He's kind of a player that it took a few years for him to develop, but when he did develop, he's been fabulous. He was the Texans' best corner, and once again, the Jaguars were able to give him enough money to get him to come to Jacksonville. And then at their third corner, they've got a good young player in DJ Hayden, who's actually hurt and out for this Chiefs game. At safety, they've got Tayshawn Gibson and Barry Church, who are both safeties that came from other teams, kind of veteran guys. Gibson's been there for a while. I believe he was with Cleveland. And then Church was previously with the Cowboys. But they're both, you know, capable players. Maybe not stars, but good players. schematically, at least so far this season, the Jaguars aren't that much different from what the Chiefs have already seen. They play a very similar scheme to the San Francisco 49ers. It's just a basic cover three, single high type of defensive scheme. But the Jaguars do have the capability of playing much more man defense. They haven't shown that this year, but they have shown it in years past. So that could be something to look for in this Chiefs game. You know, the cover three single high, if you're not familiar with it, most teams that play it, their corners just play off of the receivers on each side of the field. And then they make sure they get back at the snap. And they cover a deep third of their field on each side. And then there's a safety that stays back in the middle. So you can't get deep against that type of defense. It's very hard if the defense has good athletic players. And so far this year, the Jaguars, on 9 attempts of 20 yards or more past the line of scrimmage, have not given up a completion yet. So they are very good at making you go short and not letting you pass the ball down the field. One thing the Jaguars do with their corners that's a little bit different is, because they are so talented, they will let them press with different situations. But they have to make sure that they get back and cover their deep third of the field, or they're in trouble if they're in the cover three. So this is an area where if they underestimate Tyreek Hill's speed early in the game, maybe there's a shot or two there that can be taken. The rest of the cover three defense, you've got your three linebackers that play zone in the kind of the middle of the field, and then your outside linebackers kind of have the responsibilities to the sidelines and flats. And then you've got your four, you know, linemen who the Jaguars can get pressure with, just those four linemen that, you know, can push up the field. Now, that does leave a safety free, and they can blitz that safety. They can drop that safety in coverage in different areas of the field, or they can use that safety to cover for a corner and bring corner blitzes, or cover for a linebacker and bring disguised linebacker blitzes. So they can bring a lot of pressure from a cover three and disguise kind of who's covering who somewhat. And, you know, Mahomes has been very good at seeing this so far, but he's also going to be facing the best the NFL has to offer in the cover three. It does sound like the Jaguars' plan will probably be to try to kind of man up on Travis Kelce a little bit with their free safety, Tayshaun Gibson. That's not what they've done in years past, but it's what they did with Gronkowski a couple weeks ago, and it worked very well for them. They went from being very poor against tight ends to very good this year. The problem with that for them is that Gibson is a small guy. He's about Eric Murray's size. And even if you're extremely talented, Kelce is much bigger. And unlike Gronk, he's much, much faster than Gronkowski. So Gibson will have his work cut out for him. And if they put Gibson on an island against Kelce, that's another matchup that the Chiefs can take advantage of all day. And I honestly think the Jaguars will change their defensive plan very quick if that is what they come out trying to do. When you look at just the pure stats, the Jaguars are only giving up 164 passing yards a game. Rushing, they give up about 4 yards per carry. So there's a little more room there than there was with the Broncos last week. Let's say the Broncos were only giving up 3.7 3 yards per carry. And the Jaguars are a little bit softer in that area. And I'm wondering if the Chiefs won't kind of attack the Jaguars in a similar way to the way they attacked the Broncos early in the game, just to get the chains moving. You get Hunt going, you keep the ball, you hit a lot of the short passes, and then if Watson's playing, you should be able to take your 3, 4, 5 chances at deep balls during the game. And if you can hit on a couple of those, this Jaguars defense isn't quite as ferocious looking. Going back to the run game for just a minute, the Jaguars do have a very strong defensive line. But like I mentioned earlier, their linebackers are smaller. Their safeties aren't huge guys, and their corners aren't that big. So if you can get Hunt out there on them, he's such a beast to bring down. I think, you know, he can definitely pick up some chunks of yardage. And this is an area where the Jaguars might be kind of underestimating this Chiefs offense. In the passing game, Hill is going to be a problem for anyone. And if Watkins is playing, he will benefit from that. One unique problem I do believe the Jaguars present the Chiefs is this defensive line pass rush. With Calais Campbell and Malik Jackson and Marcell Dareus, there is an insane amount of power in this pass rush. It's not speed with those three guys. That's pure, gonna hit you as hard as I can, pick you up and push you back type of power. And those guys can give teams issues. Mitchell Schwartz does great with speed rushers. Our Chiefs offensive line is super athletic. You know, they do great with athletic guys. But one issue they have is they are not super heavy. And sometimes, you know, they're a little weak in their base. And they're all extremely tall, too. So it's something that, you know, should definitely watch out for. And then, you know, the Jaguars still have the other two pass rushers I mentioned earlier in Fowler and NY, the guy that I can't pronounce his name, who can both get, you know, a good speed rush on a quarterback if it's needed. And so they should be able to get up the field against the Kansas City Chiefs on the outside. So kind of keeping Mahomes in the pocket, which is something that I think is important for teams. I think teams are going to figure this out a little bit. Not that Mahomes is bad in the pocket. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that he will absolutely crush your spirit if you let him outside of the pocket. Just ask the Denver Broncos. But what makes the Jaguars unique is that power rush in the middle, that they can push the pocket up to Mahomes and he won't really be able to step forward. You know, so it's very important that he makes quick decisions. Guys get open on these great corners quickly. And, you know, I'm thinking maybe the screen game might be a very important aspect for the Chiefs this week, not just to the running backs, but they, you know, get the tight end screens, get the wide receiver screens, get the fullback screen, and just kind of screen the crap out of this team. Make them run sideline to sideline and wear them out. I think that was a very underrated aspect from the Chiefs-Broncos game that was more important because of the mile-high air. But the Chiefs offense kept the ball 35 minutes in that game. Denver's defense was on the field for 35 minutes running after these athletic, super fast Chiefs receivers and getting pounded in the mouth by Kareem Hunt. And it broke them in the fourth quarter. And I feel like this is something that's going to be important for them every week. It's great when you can score fast and you know, the team you're playing really has no shot from start to finish. But that's not going to be every game. And the rest of this season's schedule actually looks pretty welcoming. But you've got this Jaguars game, and you've got the Patriots, Bengals, Rams. There are some tests in the schedule, and a lot of them are early. So I'd like to see the Chiefs, you know, show what they got now. One last matchup problem I'd like to mention on offense, and I have to give Demetrius Harris props, but he was very important in that Denver game, and he's a problem for defenses. When your second tight end is 6'7" and can run and jump, you know, like he can block you out, it is important. He's kind of a big play, make the hard catches tight end. He just can't seem to make the plays that everybody else can. And it can be frustrating as a fan, but you can definitely see why they want to keep him. He is just an issue for defenses to scheme. You can't put, you know, a linebacker on him, and you can't put a 5'10" corner on him, because it's just too easy. On offense, the Jaguars have Blake Bortles as their quarterback. I personally feel like he's somebody that's probably a little bit underrated, just because when he's bad, he's been so bad. But on the other side of that, when he's good, he's extremely good. So far this season, he's had two games of over 375 yards passing. And then he's had two games of under 170 yards passing. I don't know which quarterback the Chiefs are going to face in this game. But you have to believe that as bad as the Chiefs' passing defense has been, that Bortles has the opportunity to put up some big numbers in this one. And Bortles also has a very underrated part of his game. He can flat out run. And he's a big guy, you know, he's not explosively fast, but he's very surprisingly fast. I'm telling you, he's at least as fast as Patrick Mahomes, and he outweighs him by 30, 40 pounds. On the year, he's got 18 carries for 132 yards, which is, almost a 7.5 yards per clip. At running back, the Jags will be without Leonard Fournette, but they've still got TJ Yeldon in the backfield, who's a very good, complete back. And then their backup to him will be a guy named Corey Grant, who doesn't seem to be a great runner, but he's a very good pass catcher. And so far, Yeldon and Grant together have done great catching the ball out of the backfield. Bortles relies a lot on his backs, and he's averaged just under 10 throws to his running backs per game. So that's the biggest number the Chiefs have seen so far by quite a bit. From things I've read and heard about Grant, he just doesn't have a lot of vision as a runner, but he has explosive game-changing speed when he gets going. This worries me just a little bit, because the Chiefs have had some big holes opened up on them. And if the hole's big enough, you don't need a ton of vision to run through it. So that's something to kind of watch for, that this guy, you know, doesn't have a career game against us. At tight end, the Jaguars have James O'Shaughnessy as their backup. Chiefs fans should remember him. He was a draft pick a few years ago. Seems to come up with about one big passing play a game for him. And then their main tight end is Austin Seraphin Jenkins, who's kind of bounced around from the Buccaneers to the Jets and ended up in Jacksonville. But he's a talented pass catcher. He's got some good numbers on the year. And with all the struggles that the Chiefs have had covering tight ends, these two guys could both be an issue come Sunday. And then
At wide receiver, the Jaguars have three 25-year-old wide receivers that are all very good players. They've got Keelan Cole, who you would probably call their number one receiver. He's, you know, on the outside. On the other side from him, you've got Dante Moncrief, who was with the Colts for a lot of years. And when he had Andrew Luck as his quarterback, was pretty good. And then in the slot, you've got this young player named D.D. Westbrook. Now you add these three players together, and they're averaging just under 14 yards per catch. So these are big play receivers, and their numbers are all very similar. So you've got to keep all three of them covered through the game, and you never know who they're game planning for out of those three. Now Westbrook, when I was looking at Next Gen Stats, his average yards of separation just jumped off the screen. He's averaged over 4 yards of separation. I believe it was actually over 4.5 yards of separation on his receptions. So there's nobody anywhere near him. And then he has, you know, I don't know if I would call it elite speed, but very, very good speed. So he can make the big plays happen. And he'll be, you know, running across the middle quite a bit on these crossers. And the Chiefs have had some trouble with that. So that's another area to watch. It sounds like Bortles has trouble when he gets pressured a lot and isn't able to run. So that's one area. The Chiefs, they've allowed quarterbacks to run on them in the past. It's imperative for them in this game to keep Bortles in the pocket and then not give up the short, quick passes. Because you allow Bortles to get comfortable, and then he turns into that 375-yard passer. And we want to keep him, you know, the 160-yard passer. That is just, he's afraid to pull the trigger. I think the Jaguars are going to be able to score the ball a decent amount in this game. And I think the Chiefs are too, even though they're facing the top defense in football. I've got the score coming out 27-24 Chiefs in Arrowhead. This Jaguars team has to face this Arrowhead crowd that's going to be deafening. It's going to be a playoff atmosphere. It's early in the season. I don't think they're going to be ready for what they're going to see and feel from this crowd and this atmosphere. Besides, you know, they haven't faced a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. The best quarterback they faced was Tom Brady, who's old as anything. And, you know, his receivers were decimated at the time, and he put up 220 on them. So I think this is still a game where Mahomes can get close to 300 yards and get his 2 to 3 touchdowns. And that's important when it comes to the daily fantasy, because Mahomes is a little bit cheaper this week than he has been the last couple on DraftKings. He's a little over $6,000. So if you believe in him, he's kind of a better play this week than he has been the last couple. Because, you know, 3 touchdowns and 300 yards will cover that price. Running backs, Kareem Hunt, I believe is $5,800. I think he's got a good chance to cover that. I think there are probably better options out there, though, you know, with other matchups. At receivers, I just don't feel comfortable calling out any one receiver in this matchup. Jacksonville's secondary is definitely going to win some of the time. And it just kind of depends who steps up in this one. I don't know that anyone is going to be schemed open a lot in this defense, or in this offense against this defense, excuse me. With Jacksonville, I would go ahead and give their tight end, Austin Seferson Jenkins, a look. He's only $2,900. So he wouldn't have to do just a ton to cover that price. And if he did happen to go off, you've got a cheap option that gets some big stats. Yeldon, I believe, was around $5,600. He's probably a decently safe play this week. Probably as good a play as Hunt is. Anyway, I am going to take a couple flyers on Corey Grant on a couple contests just because, you know, he's kind of explosive. And this Chiefs run defense has had some issues the last couple weeks with those type of guys. Phillip Lindsay and Matt Breida both averaged over 7 yards a carry against them. So he's, you know, Grant is extremely cheap. So I'll take a couple flyers on him. And as far as the Jaguars receivers go, the Chiefs have three decent corners. So I don't really feel like any of them is going to just go off and have a monster game. Any of the three could cover their price, but I don't think any of the three is going to blow it away enough to be worth playing. That is all I got, guys. I can't wait to see this Tyreek Hill, Jalen Ramsey matchup. I know that they won't be on each other or against each other all game. But when they are, that should be absolutely electric. And not to be forgotten, AJ Boye and Sammy Watkins might be just as good. This might be a game where we really see the worth of a guy like Sammy Watkins. Go Chiefs!